T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How's Jags attendance anyway? 25% of their stadium.
It's football, so it's still probably better than 25%, especially in London.
It's also Florida.
Good point.
Being awfully presumptuous, good point. Assuming that 25%. They can do 25%.
Well, I will say this. A big hurdle with your capacity is working with your local health officials and government officials. I will say, if anybody's going to be more lax about things, well, that's an area where it might actually take place. So that's my thoughts on that scenario there. We're expected to be joined by Royal second baseman Nicky Lopez here momentarily. Week into workouts. They already are a week into workouts for summer camp out there. I'm just, you know, have you got a routine, you know, at this point in time? I'm curious about that, and also just how things are going to this point in time. So expecting to have Nicky Lopez join us. We're also keeping an eye a little bit later on today. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce going to be golfing out in Lake Tahoe. And I think under top 50. Took it earlier. Top 50 performance from Patrick Mahomes over the next couple of days in the golf tournament out there.
He said he's going to have a hard time focusing, though. It's him and Chuck and
he did send
Travis
out that tweet.
Kelce.
The Kelce part's fine.
That seems like a fun grouping, man.
Oh, yeah. He's comfortable with Kelce, though. It's more having Charles Barkley with you. I think that can make things a little more distracting and just going through that and just the comedy that's going to come from that. That's for sure. All right, while we're waiting for Nicky Lopez, let's go ahead and get into what's trending.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
All right, number one, well, the Big Ten Football Conference announcing, well, just conference games coming up this year, if in fact they can get those taking place. So no non-conference likely means the rest of the Power Five is going to follow with them, Cody. And so the chance of having college football over the last 24 hours went down drastically. Yes, they're still trying for conference, but we're already at this step. Hasn't been positive. You got Paul Feinbaum saying 25% chance that he thinks the season takes place at all.
Don't love it. Don't feel good about it, Gold. And yet, here we are, right? It's just the situation we're in. And obviously, we'll talk more about it in depth later. But anybody going all conference just feels like the next step before the next step before the next step, because it feels like that's the way the dominoes have been going across the sports landscape. Number two for what's trending. Finally, MLS has been back, but finally, look at a little Sporting KC action. They take on Minnesota United FC this Sunday. As a reminder, two squads now out of the MLS bubble. Nashville had like 8 more players test positive. Not that it matters because they're out of the bubble, but 8 more players test positive. 2 squads leaving, but Sporting Kansas City finally gets their restart of the season back underway. Sporting KC versus Minnesota United this Sunday. Looking forward to finally getting to see the local squad on the team.
No question. I've watched a couple of the other matches, and those two teams they kicked out, there was a reason certainly for it. They've actually done good with the rest of the bubble. I believe they have only had one other positive test across all the other teams that are in Orlando. It was truly these two problematic teams that came in and weren't in as good a shape as everybody else with where things were at with the protocols that they maybe were taking back in Dallas or in Nashville, for example. So I think the bubble's working better than people think. It's just those two teams being kicked out certainly alarmed a lot of people. Next up on what's trending, go to the NBA. How about Michael Beasley, the former K-Stater, signing a veteran contract with the Brooklyn Nets? Substitute player. Remember, they have the opportunity to do that. And so he arrived at the team's hotel, went through the physical, and tested negative for coronavirus for 6 consecutive days, and he'll be able to join the team at practice once he does that.
Interesting.
They had three vacant roster spots because Dinwiddie, DeAndre Jordan, and had tested positive.
Lastly, for what's trending, K-State agrees to a four-year basketball series with Wichita State. Kind of gets the worst end of the deal because it's two in Wichita, one in Manhattan, and one in Kansas City. Depends on how you look at it. Site games, one at Intrust in Wichita,
right.
One at Sprint Center in Kansas City, one in Manhattan, one at Coke Center. One at the Bramlage Center, so I'm just saying. You could look at this as K-State got the worst end of the deal.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but there's plenty of K-State alums in Wichita, so they're good. That's cool to see. It's hard to think about scheduling stuff years out when we're trying to get this season going. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. 1 week into workouts out at Kauffman Stadium, and pleased to be joined now by Royals second baseman Nicky Lopez. And well, it's been 1 week, Nicky. Have you been able to develop any sort of routine with what is kind of the new normal at this point in time?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Well, first of all, thank you for having me, but it's been a little bit different. You go in, you have to get tested, and times of arrival are a little bit different each and every day. They do a good job sending a schedule out to us, and we're kind of just, doing it on the run right now. But it feels good to get back and do some scrimmages and do some inter squads and stuff like that. But the schedule is very fluctuating right now, and we're kind of just rolling with it. So that's basically what we have to do. It's kind of tough to do some routines. But I know as time goes on, we'll be able to develop them.
How well are you getting used to wearing a mask while playing? Because it seems like you've been one of the few guys, Nicky, on the field constantly. Even on the infield, you're rocking it. Well, how you getting used to it?
Yeah, it's kind of tough because the airflow is a little bit tough. But if it keeps us healthy and stuff like that, we just want to be on the field, and we want to be on the field, and we want to be in the clubhouse by, July 23rd, 24th. We want to start the season. So any way to keep us healthy, whether that's I see Bondy getting hits with the mask on too. So if it gets me some hits too, so that's why I put it on as well. So it keeps me healthy and it gives me some hits. So that's another reason.
Nicky, was it scary at all for you guys? Obviously you've had now three players test positive, Salvador Perez, Ryan O'Hearn, or three teammates, Ryan O'Hearn. When you go through those names and saw some of your teammates test positive, did you have a moment of like, oh boy, that's kind of scary, knowing that they're guys that are this close, or a reality check? What kind of went through your mind when you had, three different teammates at two different times, obviously, actually test positive?
Absolutely, yeah. It was definitely a little bit scary. Because you hear about it, and you hear them talk, and they're kind of shocked that they got it, and they don't know how they got it. So it's kind of a silent, invincible thing. Like it's tough to contain and control, but it was a little scary, and you kind of just watch your every movement now, and you go to the field and you come back and you sit in your room. Luckily I have a girlfriend who's very, very strict on it too. So she keeps me in line as well. But that's basically what we do. We just go to the field and I come back home and have dinner here. The only time I leave is if I need to get groceries. But other than that, it's kind of very strict.
Talking with Royals second baseman Nicky Lopez here on Cody and Gold. Normally, in spring training, you're playing against other clubs. Obviously, you were having just these inter-squad games. Do you feel like these teams and these for all these teams, I guess, are prepared? Do you guys feel you're prepared the same way come opening day?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're getting more prepared each and every day. We got some good arms, especially some arms coming up too. So being able to, hit against this pitching staff is just going to make us better. And we have a pretty bright future coming up. So being able to see them and get our cuts against our pitching staff, I think is very beneficial. And obviously, it's a little bit different because we're not facing other teams, kind of getting those competitive juices flowing, but. Just being in a game setting and kind of everyone taking the field, and you see nine players in the field and kind of emulating a game definitely gets the juices flowing and definitely gets you back in that game mentality.
Just so we don't get you in trouble, Nicky, we'll assume that you think they're all great and impossible to hit. But you mentioned facing some of the young guys. Who's been the toughest guy? Who's the guy that you're like, well, boy, well, I have just
they're,
not
they're
got
definitely. They're definitely all tough to hit. I mean, they're not. They wouldn't be in the big leagues if they weren't. So that's one thing that I actually noticed last year is that everyone is good. You don't have any easy days. So, yesterday I faced just a live BP. It wasn't a scrimmage by any means, but it was a live BP, and we faced Bubic, and that guy's changeup is the real deal. He can cut outs right now in the big leagues, and I mean, obviously, I faced Singer, faced Kowar, faced Lynch, and those guys obviously are right on the cusp of getting up, and I know that Kansas City is very lucky, and we were very lucky that we're going to be able to have them on our team, and we don't have to face them. So
this is supposed to be your first full year in the bigs, and Witt has talked about being competitive this late into the year. Like, are you excited about? I know everything sucks, but are you excited about the 60 game version of a season that maybe gives you guys this chance to do this quick run version of baseball?
Absolutely. I mean, we're excited to get out and play. It would have been very unfortunate and very disheartening if we didn't play any baseball this year. Obviously, with COVID, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than baseball. Sometimes you just got to take a step back and realize that, we're the least bit at risk than, the healthcare workers and those that are fighting it on the front lines. But it would have sucked if we didn't play. So if 60 games, 40 games, 80 games, whatever it is, we're just happy to be out there and compete. And we think that we can make a really great run at it. You look at our lineup, we top to bottom, we're tough. We have Salvi coming back. We have Gordo coming back. We're very excited. And then, our pitching staff is looking great too. So we're very excited. And, anybody can catch some heat 60 games. It's now turned into a sprint where the 162 is kind of a, you can metaphorically say it's a marathon, but this is more of a sprint.
Nicky, it seems like, you look across baseball and everybody's excited to play, but in some players have made their own personal decision to opt out across baseball. But because you guys are such a young group going forward, and as you just pointed out there, just the eagerness to get going and maybe create something special here this year, do you feel like you guys are at a little bit of advantage just in terms of motivation heading in? This is a group of guys that are so hungry to individually prove themselves still, a lot of these guys, but also just as an organization and get back to winning.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a young team, and the thing about it is we still have so much to learn too. I know obviously we have, Gordo, Kennedy, Duffy. I think the next closest, I don't even know the next closest one, service time after that. I think you got 3, 2, 1. I mean, I don't even have a year yet. So we're still learning. We're still, going in there, taking our hacks, learning a ton from our veterans. But yeah, we're hungry and we're ready to compete. That's a good thing about being a young team. But as far as those guys that are opting out, I respect their decisions. Obviously, some people are more, down the road in their careers, and they have kids and stuff that they have to take care of, and I totally respect that. But on our end, we're young guys, and we're just ready to compete and play baseball.
Nicky, we got an important thing to get to. When discussing, because normally we wouldn't have this many players sitting around Kansas City in July, when discussing Whit Merrifield and Bobby Witt Jr., we found ourselves getting in a conundrum where we were calling them both Witt. Now, obviously, Whit Merrifield was around first. What have you guys been calling Bobby Witt Jr. around? We got to figure out how to distinguish the two.
I call him B. Witt, or I call him Jr. That kid is a great kid. Unbelievable. He's been in my group a couple times, and he's eager to learn, eager to listen, very easy to talk to. You can tell him anything and stuff like that. He's basically like a sponge. He's enjoying it, being around big leaguers right now. And, Kansas City is very lucky, and we're very lucky to have him. And, I'm excited to play alongside him in a couple of years.
Aren't you a little young to be calling someone kid?
I guess, but I mean, I'm what am I? He's what?
20?
18 years old, so I mean, jeez, whatever he is. So, I am young, so thank God for that. But, he's a great dude. We'll do that one.
Okay.
Well, I know it's going to be weird not having fans out there, but what is it weird when you look up to the stands and there's going to be cutouts of just random people that are going to be cut out? I mean, we might even have a cutout or two out there.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be weird. I told my parents not to have cutouts of them. So I said, if you want a picture of my dog, I'll do a cutout of that. But other than that, no. But it's going to be different. It's definitely going to be different, especially just because, you know, big plays. You know, we feed off the energy of the fans a little bit, so it's going to have to, you know, we're going to have to hold each other accountable and kind of you know, pick each other up and kind of bring that energy that the fans kind of supply as well. So it's going to be different, but we're going to have to figure it out. And I always said that because I'm, you know, a Chicago kid. I was always looking forward to going and playing at Wrigley for the first time, and there's going to be no fans there, and it's kind of tough. But I saw the schedule for next year, and luckily we get to go to Wrigley. So hopefully all this COVID stuff can get figured out, and some fans can come back in the stands.
Are you for or against pumping in crowd noise?
like automated?
Yeah, like, so, you know, there'll just be random ambient sound. I would describe it in the stadiums. That's being discussed.
I'm for it. I don't really. Yeah, whatever they decide, I'm for it. As long as we're playing baseball, obviously, you know, I think we were practicing yesterday, and there was we were taking BP, or we were doing lives, and there was music playing, and we were sitting in the back. We're like, what if we played the music? And so that was kind of a joke that we were having.
You know that Danny Duffy would absolutely steal the playlist on that, right? He already does that in the clubhouse. Absolutely. I mean, you wouldn't get a single song in.
No, absolutely. He could be. He's gonna. I asked him if he wanted to DJ my wedding, so he's he's right on the list.
That's Nicky Lopez, Royal second baseman. Really appreciate the time, man. We'll let you get back out there to the K, and hopefully again pretty soon, in a couple weeks, we'll have opening day.
Yes, thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Nicky Lopez. Yeah, the music during it. I didn't know they were talking about pumping in crowd noise at the stadium. I thought it was just crowd noise on the TV.
That's been discussed.
That would
at
be
both.
Crowd noise in the stadium would seem, man.
How does that feel any less false than you watching it on TV?
Like, the reason at home, because the broadcast sounds weird. Now, I'm sure it's weird not having any noise in the stadium,
exactly,
as a player too. I guess.
And you kill two birds with one stone. If you pump it into the stadium, then you've created it for the broadcast purpose.
Perhaps, yeah, maybe that's the way to go. The text line asking as well, can you pay to get a cutout of the opposing pitcher's ex-girlfriend behind home plate to help you out as well?
Not bad thinking, text line.
Like that.
Well, we do those things like behind people shooting free throws. What's the difference? How did we not consider this first? Oh, I was like, oh, God, it just feels kind of mean, though, doesn't it?
Because maybe the problem is to use someone else's photo or likeness, you've got to get their permission.
But they said you can put somebody else on. So
you can.
Now, to use someone's likeness, like somebody's girlfriend, that's probably going to get taken down pretty quick.
Yeah.
That maybe not go over so well, but I don't know. I mean, that would be a fun thing to try to sneak through, wouldn't it? It would only probably last a game, but it'd be a fun thing to try to sneak through. Opening day, you could probably get it through, but I'm not so sure they're going to give you a new cutout with a different face.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to pick the one, because at some point you also have to, assuming it's a pictures ex-girlfriend or something, you've got to know who that, like, are they actually pitching at the K that year? Like you said, you get one cutout. So it might be funny that one game that happens in August, but for the first 2 months of the season, nobody even knows what it is. Maybe that's how you slide it through.
That's how you get it through, though, man. It just looks like a girl.
Do you wait and you do some research on Chicago White Sox pitchers right now? Start doing some research.
Yeah, whoever's going to start opening day and then start figuring out, you know, the high school ex that broke up with him. It's going to take some research. It's going to take some work.
Appreciate.
Or the guy who, like, hit the game-winning home run off of him in a high school, you know, like, in a high school baseball game. Like, you find the guy who did something, like, somebody who did something to them along the way would be a delight.
Yeah, that's kind of, when we get to that point.
Can't just, like, put himself, he can't just put Batman back there. Like, they're not going to allow that kind of stuff, but.
Just, you know, just copyright issues and things like that.
Or Spider-Man. You said Spider-Man's your favorite superhero.
Somebody's going to sue over Batman being in the stands. I doubt it.
Sure they will.
You don't think DC's coming after that?
They shouldn't.
That's free advertisement for Batman. If anything, they should appreciate it.
Well,
that's not
it
how they treat those
things. Yeah, it says like there's a bunch of stipulations everybody's doing.
Yeah, we can't do advertisements.
Yeah, otherwise all the cutouts would just be like billboards in the stands. That's all it would be.
Absolutely.
Now some would say, there's some
revenue. If they're paying for the cardboard cutout.
There you go.
Why not take the dough?
Appreciate Nicky Lopez joining us here on the show. So we know there's NBA players dealing with the bubble. They're down in Orlando. Not all. There's a couple players that haven't arrived yet. Those that have arrived have tweeted out or put on Instagram, you know, photos of the food, for example. The latest has been some photos of the accommodation. So Rajon Rondo, not happy with the accommodations in Orlando. He tweeted out a photo on Instagram and, like, basically with a middle finger towards the @NBA. And it was a photo of what looks like a very standard, not bad,
a pretty fine hotel.
Average hotel. I would say average, maybe even a little bit slightly above average.
Pretty nice. I've stayed in worse hotels.
Room. And he's at Motel 6 with the middle finger emoji. That's, if anybody stayed at a Motel 6, he clearly hasn't. If you've stayed, you look at this photo. I think you'd retweet it on your Twitter account. I think maybe all three of us have at some point, or quote tweet it at least. You look at this photo. There's anybody that's actually stayed at a, you know, a Super 8 or a Motel 6. Nobody will ever confuse what he tweeted out for a hotel room with one of those. He clearly hasn't been there. I think what's happening here, Cody, NBA players trying so hard to make the Orlando bubble look like almost like it's Fire Fest. Poor accommodations, crappy food, because they tweet out food photos. But every non-millionaire, just every one of just normal people on Twitter is like, yeah, this isn't that bad. That's not a Motel 6 room. That's an average, nice hotel room. That meal isn't
your
terrible.
Own life bubble.
I'm sure he's used to staying at 5-star hotels. So when you stay at what is probably a 3-star hotel, you're like, ugh, this is trash. That's what he's thinking. But overall, it's not that bad.
It looked pretty nice.
And someone's like, well, he's in there for 3 months. Again, people have way worse situations to deal with. It's, yeah. Come on now.
Is Kyrie really in there? Or is Rondo really in there for 3 months? Rajon? Maybe.
Don't ever stay at the Quality Inn right off the highway in Denver, then.
In Denver, huh?
It's not a good experience.
I don't even think the worst hotel I ever stayed in had, like, it wasn't even a chain name. It was definitely
the
a
independent
motel.
Oh, the Independence.
And it was
the independent brands are scary.
Sketchy. It was in the middle of, it was like all the way down in southwestern Kansas, and I was stuck there for one night. I asked for my, like, at the time I was like working for like my, you know, like working for, and I asked my boss to say, look for the cheapest hotel available.
He found
I'm
it, huh?
Back
he
home.
Found it, huh?
I want the cheapest hotel that is in this area. There was like a Red Roof Inn. It was like $35 more a night up the road. I could have just stayed there. Obviously should have. Because of this hotel, one, there was no check. I mean, like, the check-in person themselves was a bit skeptical. And then the room had the toilet in it. It was not in a separate room.
That's a great sign. That's a great sign.
In the room. I did not sleep a wink.
What'd you expect for $30 a night or whatever you were paying?
It was like $34.
Now, wouldn't you just
and this
sleep
was probably
in the,
like
in 15 car.
Years ago. I don't.
Oh, I can't
I would
do
have
that.
Rather done
see,
that.
I can't. There's no way you slept, though, right?
I
if you're in a room like
in
that.
I take naps in my car all the time. Not all the time.
I can't.
Wait, I have done it mean, several times in my life.
So you take naps just, in your car? Why?
Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't make sense to drive all the way home. Like if I leave here and I have to be somewhere in an hour...
So you just
I
crank up the AC and take a nap?
Away, and so, yeah, I lock the doors. I put a hood over my eyes.
Have
or
you
a
had
hat.
Anybody ever knock on your make sure you're alive?
No. Are other people doing this, just taking naps in their car?
And I just take like a 30, 45-minute power nap.
I didn't know that. Oh, wow. I'm curious. 913-576-7667. I wonder if anybody
I've
else is doing that.
I never slept in my
that.
Car, but I'm not just like out here taking random power naps.
Oh, yeah. I've done it. I've done it. 100 times.
Worst hotel wise, there was a Super 8 in Ames, Iowa. I mean, I was in college, so I didn't care as much at the time. Super 8 in my, so that was terrible. And also a hotel randomly in Chanute, Kansas. We were in high school down in Chanute, Kansas. There was a basketball tournament going on. This, I kid you not. So it was, you could tell nobody had been in that room in a long, long time. But unfortunately, behind one of like just the random chair in there, like it was one of those lounger chairs, behind it was an old pair of white, tidy, whitey underwear. Like,
Ugh. Nasty.
That actually happened. So, Rondo out here tweeting a nice photo
probably
of an average...
Probably cleaner than that one I stayed at.
The worst is it's an independent brand. You're driving, you're on a road trip, and it still has, you know, vacancy, and it'll say, we have free HDTV. And in 2020, when the hotel is bragging about free HDTV on a sign, you know you're in a little bit of trouble. you know you might be in just a little bit. Of trouble. Someone else saying they used to take naps between classes in college.
Yeah. You get in the car, turn the AC on, lock the doors so nobody can mess with you.
Huh.
Throw a, yeah. Always have a hoodie in your car so you can throw the hood over your eyes or put a hat over your eyes, because I need darkness.
I'm with you on that part of it. Someone else saying they nap in their car all the time, right after lunch. Helps them get through the rest of the day.
Oh, and I'm a power...
There's all these car nappers in this world.
I'm a power nap taker, too. I can't... Like, I'm not one of these people that takes naps for, like, 2 or 3 hours. If I take a nap... It's 45 minutes max.
Bad nap.
So I'm really good at falling asleep quickly, but I don't sleep for very long.
I wish I could do it. No, that's the thing. If I take a nap at 2:30, I'm not waking up till like 4. I'm not a 2:30 to 3.
I just don't take a nap. Look at us. We're like the Goldilocks of nap takers.
There you go.
No naps, short naps, long naps.
There you go. All right, coming up in 90 seconds, Cody's got your return to sports update, plus best in sports. We'll tell you who someone thinks it's not.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll talk with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, get his thoughts again on a big, big week, of course, in Kansas City. A fun week with Patrick Mahomes getting $500 million contract. He's getting ready to tee off as well. Not Pete, but Patrick Mahomes at Lake Tahoe.
Pete is. I don't know. I haven't asked him.
He did say he was working on...
Oh, no, he's coming
golf.
With us. He shouldn't be.
That's right.
He shouldn't
be. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah, we all are doing something, which we'll explain a little bit later after the show today. We will get to our random question of the day in about 8 minutes. This isn't as bad as Rob Ninkovich by any means, because this is, of course, debatable. Rob Ninkovich of the Patriots, again, his comments we played earlier, saying that you take Lamar Jackson before Mahomes when you're starting a franchise. That's just absurd. That's just completely ridiculous. This is one of those where you can actually have an opinion on, not something that seems more factual like Ninkovich's comment. So Stephen A. Smith was on First Take, and they were talking about best athletes in sports right now.
It's early. Number two, 50 touchdowns his first year, 26 his second year. That's a 24-touchdown drop-off, although he missed a couple of games. And, oh, by the way, his Super Bowl, regardless of the MVP, wasn't that great for the first three quarters. Let's keep that in mind. Let's not act like we could just gloss over that. Number three, football players. Again, if Russell Wilson had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, what would he be doing? If Aaron Rodgers had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, what would he be doing? If they had Andy Reid calling plays along with the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has at his disposal, what would some of those elite quarterbacks be doing? That's not to take anything away from the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. That's not a debate here. We know he's great. We know he's phenomenal. We know he's worthy of the money that he's gotten. He's a champion. We believe he's going to win at least a couple of more. He's elite. We're not questioning his immediate resume, but when you talk about the best, you're looking at a guy like LeBron James has been around for 17 years. And oh, by the way, the Lakers, number one seed in the West, 49-14. LeBron leading the league in assists. Okay, in his 17th season at age 35. I'm just saying, I can't just summarily dismiss that because Patrick Mahomes has been great for a couple of years.
So he says LeBron James is the best athlete in sports. Now, he changed it up towards the end because, of course, who's had the better career overall and all this stuff, best athletes? Of course it's LeBron James. Duh. Nobody should be debating that. But right now, who's the best athlete in sports right now? Doesn't mean LeBron James isn't playing at a ridiculously high level for his age. He's insane.
Are we saying athlete within their own sport or just physically gifted athlete? Because that's that's a really weird deviation. We're just saying in their sport, athlete playing their sport, right?
Yeah. I think overall, no, best athlete
because
in sports.
Because the best athletes in sports are basketball. No.
Yeah, that's not what you're taking.
People.
Yeah, you're taking on a literal sense.
No, that's what I'm checking.
Yeah. No.
I'm taking it like I think this conversation is meant to be
not who's the most athletic,
who is the best at their sport at any like whatever.
Not most athletic. Yeah, we're on the same
before
page.
Before somebody sends in, it's not even about me. Somebody sends in a text to be like, "Well, the best athletes play soccer." I'd be like, "No, you're an idiot. It's definitely not that sport."
Yeah, it's right now in sports. There's not a better athlete than Patrick Mahomes right now. It doesn't mean LeBron James isn't playing at ridiculous level right now. LeBron James, he's right. Number one seed, LA Lakers. He got hurt last season. He bounced back in a big, big way this season. Yeah, that's accurate. But right now, and if you're going to use the knock that, well, Russell Wilson would have done this if he had Tyreek Hill or Kelce, here's what I understand about that whole, that conversation. Best athlete in sports, yes, Patrick Mahomes landed in a very good situation. Nobody's denying that. He got to sit behind Alex Smith for a year and learn. He's in an Andy Reid offense. Yes, he has a top five receiver in Hill. He's got the best tight end in football, I believe, in Travis Kelce.
Sure.
He's got plenty of weapons. That shouldn't be used as a knock against him, though.
Yeah, LeBron's never had LeBron any good teams around him.
Like, Mahomes didn't get to choose the Chiefs. No. The Chiefs chose him. LeBron James was in Cleveland and chose to go to Miami. LeBron James went to L.A., chose to also help because with Clutch Sports get Anthony Davis to join him in L.A. Not that there's an – I have no problem with that, but don't
that's
use –
That's one of the other best players in the
– Don't use that argument against Mahomes in that. Like, that was he's got these great players around him. LeBron James has seeked out the great players.
The other part about it is – well, and, like, the NFL doesn't allow you to do that the way the NBA does.
Sure.
Every time somebody has one of these conversations, this is like we had this conversation yesterday, the day before. Somebody brings up Sammy Watkins, and that's like saying, "Oh, I mean, the Lakers have got Dion Waiters." Like, all right. I mean, he was like the 50th wide receiver. Nobody's bragging about, you know, the Panthers having Curtis Samuel last year. Stop it. Don't mention that name in the it's loaded with talent part.
If you're gonna hold it against Mahomes that he has Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you shouldn't give Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson a break because they don't have those guys. Like, it works both ways.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, it's just not...
Aaron Rodgers wasn't good last year. I know Davante Adams was hurt and his wide receivers were garbage, but when Davante Adams is on the field, he's one of the five best wide receivers in football. Russell Wilson had Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf last year. Those are two pretty good wide receivers.
Yeah, at some point in time, we'll be able to say who had the better career in their profession, right? At some point down the road, we can have that conversation, LeBron or Mahomes. Right now, clearly, it's LeBron. Down the road, we'll see, okay? We'll see. Does Mahomes end up being the greatest quarterback ever to play? LeBron James is one of the best, or the second best. Yeah, like, so that's where we're at. We're not there on the long term. But right now in sports, as the text line points out, is LeBron James even the best player in the NBA right now in his own sport? Mahomes 100% is the best player in the National Football League.
Here's the thing about LeBron, though, is that Stephen A's points about all the things he's...
Oh, he's amazing, of course.
He's having a tremendous season. But that's the thing. Like, you could be like, Patrick Mahomes didn't have the best season in the NFL last year, a quarterback, even at his own position. So, like, if LeBron... Even if LeBron's not having the best year in the NBA, I still think he's the best player in the NBA now.
But it's just if
I just had to wipe everything clean and have one year to have one player in the NBA, and then we all had to draft from there, 1-1 for 1 year, we're just going to scrap it. It's still LeBron.
Yeah, but
because
it's just,
he's proven he will take corpse of players to the NBA finals in his youth. And this team is not.
This team
is not bad, but it is like one elite player and then some dudes.
It's just that if you're going to use the Mahomes has on the football side, Mahomes has all this talent, and then you're going to ignore it with LeBron, then okay, if that's fine, if that's how we're going to do it, then what about Giannis? Giannis doesn't have a wealth of talent around him. They're the top team in the Eastern Conference, very likely going to be in the NBA Finals if everybody stays healthy on
their team. Who's Giannis' second best player versus Anthony Davis?
What, Middleton, right? Is that right?
Yeah. But that's not the quality of Anthony Davis. That's like saying, well, he's got who you mentioned the wide receivers for the Seahawks, right? That's the difference between, like, it's not like he has bad wide receivers. He just doesn't have a top five one like Tyreek Hill. But the collection of the group, it's like, yes, Tyreek Hill's better than their number one wide receiver, but both of their next two wide receivers, we would agree, are better than Sammy Watkins? Yeah. Like, that's, like, this is why it's so hard to compare in all the sports. Like, when you're talking about supporting casts, the reason why the Chiefs are seen as, like, one of the more supremely talented teams is because their top-end talent is tremendous. But they still have some areas below top-end. Well, you know, it's not as good as some other teams. That's not a complete knock. That's why I say, like, I think the Ravens have a better roster, because I think all throughout, they are deep throughout. But because you see future Hall of Famer Travis Kelce, future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill is currently playing like a top five wide receiver in the NFL. When you look at the top part of their talent, it's loaded. Loaded. But then you start getting that, like, second scratchy label. That's where, like, how many number two wide receivers in the NFL would you take over Sammy Watkins? And the answer is, like, 20? He'd be lower third of number two wide. He ranked 50th-ish in receiving yardage in the NFL last year. So that would put him, includes tight ends, right? So that'd put him more like like maybe he's middle of the pack of second wide receivers, but some of those other guys you might just be like, are hurt. Like you would say you'd rather have Will Fuller, who had less yardage, that maybe would you have rather Will Fuller and take the chances?
No, because Will Fuller, even though Sammy Watkins has injury, don't get me wrong, Sammy Watkins missed time, but Will Fuller, it's a game. Will Fuller, it is a game. By week four of this season, Will Fuller's not playing.
But purely healthy. Like if you can guarantee both them health for this year, you'd take Fuller. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get stuck in this, like, you know, I think this is what happens in these conversations. So now we're making it cross sports on top of it, which makes it very difficult.
Random question.
Today we go to Twitter. There was a story out yesterday. Yeah, it can be. There was a story out yesterday about the reopening of theme parks. Not here. Not here. Don't worry.
Not yet. Say, is Worlds of Fuzzy? I don't think so.
I don't know, actually. I have no idea. I have not been. I mean, I've been rushing to go anywhere, so I don't want to say before.
Since I've been at Worlds.
But Japan has recently opened some theme parks, or getting ready to open some theme parks, and have made some rules for thrill seekers looking to go on roller coasters. They include not being allowed to scream while on roller coasters. Now, they're operating some other socially distanced guidelines, like putting seats in between the people on the roller coasters. Some of the kids and people in these photos can be seen both wearing masks and not wearing masks. So the question I have for you anyway is, do you actually scream on a roller coaster? I feel like that's something people do just because they want to, like, show off.
Yeah,
I like riding roller coasters. I'm not saying it can't be scary, but I never really was the screamer while riding roller coasters.
So, no, I don't. When I have it, it does seem almost like feels I have to force like myself
wave.
To do it. I feel like
it's like the wave. Like, am I doing this? Whoa! Feels a little forced.
Yeah. I think it's one of those where, like, when you're in the moment, maybe because it's one of those where you end up just doing.
It's peer pressure because everyone else is doing it.
Like, yeah, I'm good. But do I naturally just do it as I'm at the top of the Mamba and I'm heading down? No, I don't just naturally scream.
You're also afraid of heights.
I don't like heights.
I'm guessing instead.
This is very accurate. Worlds of Fun, by the way, is open. I just looked. No reservations required. There you go. I told you about roller coasters and heights. But roller coasters in particular, my issue is I don't like the wait to get to the top. So like the Mamba, once we're in the middle of the ride, I'm good. I'm enjoying it. I am. Once we're in it, I'm enjoying it. But the leaning back where you're like all the way back and I'm waiting 40 seconds and I'm looking off to the right, I am tense. You even knew at the Super Bowl, we went up this one escalator it was like the escalator to heaven. I mean, it was unbelievable, okay? With this escalator to get to the top where we were at for the Super Bowl, Cody may not have noticed, but I was gripping. We were packed in like sardines too, so I was a little claustrophobic. We were there. I'm looking straight. Like Cody's looking straight ahead.
A lot of phobias.
Cody's trying to talk to me while we're heading up on this escalator. I'm gripping the railing and I'm just looking straight down at the at the floor of the escalator. You're trying to look. You're looking around. You're having a conversation. If you notice, I didn't say anything to you. I could not wait till we got to the top. So I don't like heights to begin with. It's been a while since I've rode a roller coaster, but yeah, I don't just scream. But what are they going to do if you scream? How are they going to know it was you that screamed? What are they going
to
do?
Feels like a difficult thing to police. You seem like you'd like a roller coaster, Serta.
So are people going to be separated like every other cart? Because I don't think those carts are 6 feet apart.
Yeah, this photo from this one Wall Street Journal article would certainly make it seem that way, yes. This is the Fujiyama roller coaster.
Oh, yes. 230 feet. Very familiar with that one.
Why don't they just make them wear masks?
Some of them aren't, I guess, would be part of the problem. Boy, that kid
and looks. I don't think I scream on roller coasters. I haven't been on a roller coaster in a really long time.
I feel like it's one of those things people probably do, but out of like force of habit. But maybe not. Maybe people are just genuinely terrified, which feels like a weird thing to subject yourself to.
I'm looking through. There's so many new rides at Worlds of Fun. It's been a while, man. I'm looking. Some of these look fantastic, though. I mean,
we're gonna have a show day at Worlds of Fun next summer.
Like Mamba.
Notice I said next summer.
Yeah. Boomerang. Remember when the Boomerang first opened? That was such a big deal.
I haven't been to Worlds of Fun in a
Fury of the Nile. There we go. I can do that. I won't be. That's perfect.
Oh yeah, that water is probably. Like you're worried about the roller coaster, but that's
I love the Timberwolf though. That old wooden roller coaster, that thing will jerk you around quite a bit on that ride.
It's a weird thing to try to police, is all I'm saying. I was curious if you were scripting roller coasters anyway.
It's been
a little while since I've been on one, but it feels like just one of those like you do as part of a collective group. So let us know. Smitty's Garage Brewery text line 69306.
Yeah, multiple people saying Worlds of Fun is open. Yep, I didn't look at the website.
It was our mistake. I just hadn't checked.
Wonder how busy they are. The line, I mean, if you don't want the line, I mean, the lines
are
can't
there,
be
there. Are there screaming rules?
At Worlds of Fun?
Yeah, I'm asking.
I feel like we need to find out.
Yeah, this requires further investigation.
What was your favorite ride at Worlds of Fun?
Me?
Do you have one? Timberwolf was mine.
I mean, as a kid, it was like two that aren't even there anymore, like the Orient Express. So, I mean, I haven't been nearly as much an adult. Like the Orient Express and the Zambezi Zinger, I really enjoyed as kids.
Yeah, those are all good.
But like
right,
now
yeah.
as an adult, I don't know. I mean, I waited in line just like any other kid when the Mamba opened. So maybe that.
The Mamba, that was such a big, the Mamba. That was like world class.
I used to ride the Mamba all the time.
Yeah.
That line for the Mamba. Line for the Mamba was so long.
Dude, it was worth it. I mean, as a kid, I didn't care. What responsibilities do you have when you're like 17 years old in the middle of summer? Nothing. Oh, no, I got to wait an hour in the line for the Mamba.
Someone
cool.
says they've modified the Timberwolf. It's not as fun now, maybe. I don't know.
It's been a few years since I've been.
Mass 24/7 at Worlds of Fun.
There you go. See? So we don't have to worry about the screaming problem solved.
How do you feel about the detonator or those type of rides? Again, that's a heights issue. Just waiting at the top. No, I'm one of those where once it starts, I'm not going to make it through the wait on that. It's the height. If so, I'm looking straight ahead. I cannot stand heights whatsoever. So have I been on the detonator before? Yes, but never again. Never again. That's our random question of the day. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. You also have about 45 minutes or so left to vote in our weekend movie nominations. What are we watching for the weekend? Our theme is heist movies after Patrick Mahomes got paid $500 million, or will be getting paid $500 million, that big contract handed out. You can go to at 610 Sports KC or each one of us individually at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta. You can vote on our movies. The last time I checked, Ocean's 11 was in first place. I believe Blank Check was in third, Cody. And Sweeney's pick of The Town
Serta's
was second.
With a sad 3% last check.
Cowards.
The issue is people haven't heard of it, Widows, right? People haven't heard of
it. I hadn't heard of it either. I am interested in watching it.
It's a good movie.
I voted for Pete's, though. I feel like he's got to win one of these days, and he keeps coming
to watch Widows, whether it wins or not. I'm boycotting whatever result we get, and I'm watching Widows.
I mean, I think The Town's getting some votes, too, because I was on Netflix last night, and I know it popped up as one of those, like, featured shows, so I think people are seeing, for whatever reason, they're pushing that show right now.
I've watched The Town recently.
It's fine.
It's good. I like it. I watched the extended version, though, the director's cut. Very different from the regular film.
This
also almost 3 hours long.
See, I can't get into the director's cut stuff.
This is why they have to have cuts. They shouldn't be allowed free reign. It's like, you should have to have an editor for things. The same reason as we have a PD to answer to. They just let us come do whatever 4 hours we wanted every day. Eventually, things would spiral out of control.
All right, so we'll find out what movie we're watching coming up in about 45 minutes or so. You don't have to worry about Andy Reid being on this list at all from fan-sided. 10 NFL
Finally.
Head coaches under the most pressure in 2020.
I can make an argument for why he would be, because repeating does apply a fair amount of pressure.
It's definitely a different type of pressure, right? It's not a...
It's the good kind.
It's a very good kind of pressure. Yes, expectations are so, so high. We had a discussion early, just a day or two ago about Mahomes and the pressure and expectation for where people aren't going to be happy with even one more ring, right? They're expecting 2-3 more rings out of Mahomes. So some of that certainly falls in line with Andy Reid. He's not on this list anymore. And, some of the coaches that end up on it, by the way, Sean McDermott is on here for Buffalo because Tom Brady's out of your division. The Buffalo Bills took a step forward last year. Now there's an expectation that you should win that division. Now, that might change with Cam Newton being part of the equation, something they didn't expect. Bill Belichick, though, at number 7, that's an interesting one. So pressure, is it pressure or just like truly legacy and like ego more than anything? Like proving
what
that
pressure does he have remaining in this world?
It's not really pressure. It's just trying to prove yourself like to the Belichick or Brady debate, even though I've told you I think that you can't ever answer that now because they're both too far along in their careers. And Brady's not the same guy he was. We needed to have this debate 5 years ago. Brady needed to separate 5 years ago
to have
a realistic.
They'd be gone to like 33 to even have.
But there's
this
not
talk.
Pressure for Belichick. There's like the ego and legacy to prove, hey, I can bring in Cam Newton and I can go win an AFC East. I can get back to an AFC Championship game or whatever with this team. And what does that say about me while Tom Brady's struggling in Tampa or whatever it may be? It's not really pressure, though.
No, I don't think that. Just put
Adam Gase
kind of
is on here.
Well, he's got with pressure. The Jets. If he wants
he's
to
got.
Keep his job.
How about he'd be on the hot seat list too? Can we go ahead and put him on that? Anthony Lynn with the Chargers, a lot of pressure. They drafted Herbert. Bill O'Brien's at number 4. Nagy.
The problem with like Anthony Lynn is that if it really was his choice to go with Tyrod Taylor, then he self-inflicted the pressure on himself anyway. He didn't have to go into a season with no plan when he knew Phillip Rivers was going to walk and he was ready to let him walk, and roll with a ancient veteran quarterback, not ancient. Tyrod Taylor's got to be. He's probably like younger or older.
What's your guess? 33?
Yeah, that'd be in the ballpark. He's probably like either 29 or 38.
He's 30. He's 30.
Yeah, exactly. Like he was going to be way younger or way older than I thought because it was never going to be the age I felt like he should have been. But the kind of guys who need pressure, the kind of guys who can lose their job or have more riding on the guys that have there. Like, so for instance, Bill O'Brien is on this list. I don't actually think Bill O'Brien is at risk of losing his job this year, but he should have the pressure of doing something, anything with Deshaun Watson. Like Matt Nagy's got pressure because he might lose his job. Anthony Lynn has pressure because
Dan
he might lose his job.
Dan Quinn's on here.
Dan Quinn
obviously
could lose
Matt
his
Patricia.
Job.
Both guys could easily be fired.
But the people who you miss pressure on, like it's easier when you already have a Super Bowl, but taking advantage, like the two categories of pressure for me are you have an established veteran quarterback where you're not sure what this window with this team is. So like that includes guys like Pete Carroll with Russell Wilson and young guys on rookie quarterbacks. So John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson. Because that is your window. There is pressure there for me to go with. Because I think sometimes when we make those lists, we just talk about the guys who might lose their job. Patricia, Gase, Nagy.
How's Mike Zimmer not on this, by the way? Mike Zimmer.
He absolutely should be. They got a high-priced quarterback.
High-priced quarterback. They traded Stephon Diggs. It's time for Mike Zimmer. Like,
you got to get somewhere.
Yeah,
do
you can't
something.
Just, an appearance in the playoffs not work it anymore. Okay?
Yeah, but you know, like Drew Brees, like if we were making this list for the quarterbacks, you know, they should be at the top of that list, right? I mean, think about, like, we just give them, like, was it you that said that you're just, like, sick of the Saints kind of getting that free pass of, like, why haven't you done more with Breeze?
I don't know if they're really getting a free pass
and
anymore.
We still pick them every year to be a Super Bowl contender.
They should have real pressure.
They're bad in the playoffs every single year.
I mean, I still think they have probably, if you were to rank like Super Bowl odds, I don't know what they are in Vegas, but I would imagine the Saints are still top five easily.
Yeah. Yeah, there are still teams that have less pressure than Kansas City, but I feel like for the first time in a long time, Andy Reid's like pressure ranking list is like 20th. There's 10 teams who have no pressure because they have no expectation. Like Reid has way more pressure than any of those 10 teams we know have no chance to make the postseason. But the teams that are like the combination of teams who are, we have got to win something soon because the window is closing on either the front or back end. On either the rookie deal when it's really easy, well, it's not really easy, easier. And the back end when we've only got what? Like Bruce Arians got a lot of pressure.
To me, that's
He's only got a couple of years of Tom Brady. Like Sean Payton's only got a couple years of Drew Brees. You better get this done now.
I think that's where Sean McDermott falls in on the front side of it, where Josh Allen, it's like you got to really figure out what most people feel like you know what you have in Allen, but is there something else there from Allen we haven't seen yet? You went out and made the move to get Stephon Diggs, and it seems like the AFC East is yours for the taking. Maybe not as much now with Cam Newton, but yeah, interesting to lose that. Vic Fangio should be on this for more on the job, truly on the job. I mean, he's got a They gave him all kinds of tools now. Yes.
They've supplied their young quarterback with every weapon. He's got to prove he can actually get a quarterback there.
Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll have a little pop culture corner, but Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride, joins us next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.